Welcome back to Pop Culture Failure. I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And we are watching Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation, episode 11, Turtles Night Out. Or is this episode 12?
It's episode 12.
It is episode 12.
You'll figure it out.
No, I won't. But keeping the string going, we have a special guest today.
Hello.
That voice you're hearing is Jake Mason.
I feel like I jumped on you. Sorry.
It's all right. It happens. I'm still feeling this out anyway.
You did better than Furby.
Yeah, you did. So, Jake, I bet we have probably like a 90% overlap with your podcasts, but why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, I do a lot of other podcasts. I think you're probably right in the 90% overlap. I think the only people who are new, not to be disparaged or anything, I feel like the only people are new are either brought in by other Jake or by Googling Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation podcast, and this is the only one.
And the best, by default.
We like to corner the market.
Yeah. So I have a Power Rangers podcast and a couple of Pokemon podcasts and like 17 or 18 other podcasts. It's a dangerous addiction.
It's true. Didn't you just said you did like 40 hours of podcast work this week?
Yeah, I did about a full-time job's worth of podcast between editing and recording this week. It's been a long week.
That's insane. Sky and I can barely do this one.
The trick is that the more you do it, the better you get at it. And so you go, yeah, I can fit another one in. And then you get good at that one. You're like, yeah, I can fit another one in. And then soon you're too deep in the hole and you can't stop.
Sky, let's not do that.
We'll see.
Yeah, don't be like me. Don't do this.
I don't like this.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. Your podcast and the ones that I've been listening to kind of inspired me to do this.
So. Listen, your podcasts are all he talks about. It's really sad and embarrassing.
Sometimes I talk about the Nerdist or We Got This.
Yeah, or sometimes the weird Japanese DVDs you've gotten in the mail.
Look, Sentai is awesome.
Sentai rules. I actually watched one an episode of Cocker Ranger before I watched this episode of Ninja Turtles as an amuse-bouche to kind of, I guess, reverse cleanse the palate. I wanted to know what good stuff was before I watched this.
You set the bar too high.
That, sir, is a good call.
Yeah, I did.
You're going to have to watch another one after.
I might have to.
I'm going to get really drunk.
It's like
10 in the morning.
Almost, yeah, it's almost time. We did go camping last week, and that was basically all you did.
Oh, yeah, I cracked my first beer at like 9.
I mean, what else do you do when you're camping? Yeah. Is there another way to camp?
Well, I mean, you get to poke the fire a little bit.
No, that's your job. I'm not allowed.
I don't drink,
I'll
so that's
kill everyone.
But speaking of drinking and such, what do you say we start jumping into this episode?
Oh, boy, can we?
Oh, I would love to talk about this. So we open up, and Michelangelo, as we all know, loves driving. Like, they all love driving, but this is the only time we see Michelangelo in the driver's seat because the stock footage has Leo in it.
Yeah, they shot a whole bunch of new stuff for this.
Yeah, I guess. Real quick, he does mention right off the top that this gives drive-by a whole new meaning. Hey, Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation, what the fuck? that's a weird way to start your show.
Yeah, are you guys okay? Because that's a
Is everything
weird thing
okay
to bring
at home?
Up. Yeah. I know it's New York, but we've only seen, like, clean Toronto, New York. And it's...
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Things are about to get very gritty.
I haven't seen any of this show since I watched it when I was a kid, like, I guess 20 years ago at this point.
That's fair.
So is the street always this littered with trash? There's just a bunch of newspapers everywhere.
Yeah, that empty street? Yeah. The rest of the streets usually have cars from the stock footage they purchased for $12. But that's one with the actual Hummer seems to have just newspapers strewn about all the time.
Okay, because that's trash road. Yeah. It's just a bunch of trash.
Well, it is leading to their lair, or away from their lair.
It's the abandoned back road that they have to hide on because they're monsters.
You're right.
That's fair.
Also, I like that we do get this nice little, like, hey kids, don't do drugs PSA right up
basically
front.
Basically immediately.
Right before they go to a fucking rave.
Right, I was really hoping this is going to be the episode where the turtles drop some E and then just kind of party on that.
Turns his bow into a giant glow stick. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe
maybe
if we had done drugs, it would have been better.
I wouldn't know. I'm kind of square in that sense. But I feel like it couldn't have hurt. This episode was fucking weird.
Yeah, it was. Well, apparently Donatello gave Michelangelo some sort of gadget that will act as a pirate radio station.
Here's my theory. is Donatello didn't know it worked. They just gave it to Michelangelo so he could go off and pretend and they could get shit done. Like, they could clean up and they could read where it was quiet. And it accidentally worked. He didn't know it would turn on, and it turned into a whole thing.
That makes a lot of sense. But also, I don't know how that, like, pirate radio stations work, but he's driving around all the time, so I don't know if the signal is dipping and raising.
It must
going.
Be.
Oh, it has to be, yeah. The only people who hear it are the people driving in front of and behind him on the road.
Because he's just screaming into the...
It's like... It's just a loudspeaker. It's not a radio station.
It's like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
You know when you used to have to take your iPod and plug it into the radio transmitter and it would like make that tiny signal that your car could pick up before we
you had to find a station that nobody else is using.
And if you drove close enough to another car you could pick it up. It's probably like that.
I do not remember that, but I believe you. But yeah, but he's driving around, he's taking calls. Apparently he's playing Frasier cuz some guy calls in with some sort of weird existential crisis. Because he's upset about the people in the city.
Yeah, he's like, everyone's so solemn. I have the closed captioning on. I did not hear the word solemn. I don't know what he actually said, but I guess it was interpreted as solemn. And then he's like, Michelangelo's like, are you happy or sad? And he's half glass half full or glass half empty. And he's like, oh, half empty. And Mike's like, well, then you're good.
Yeah.
No, that's the opposite of how the expression is.
First of all, Michelangelo is the child of them. He has no qualifications to be giving advice to anyone.
Excuse me, he has a radio show.
No, he's
it's
a guy with a
like
microphone,
having a podcast.
Just like us. Doesn't make him an
That's
expert.
Kind of the reason I picked this episode, is I was like, oh, Michelangelo has a shitty podcast. I know something about that. Let's do that.
But yeah, like, he sort of gives this dude a pep talk, but not really. He doesn't really solve his problem at all. And then he just
tells him he's already jive.
Yeah. And then he moves on to the next caller, whose name is Jenny, and her best friend's boyfriend wants her to do drugs to each other or something.
Who's older? He's 16, so how old is Jenny?
I don't know.
She's like 12, and this dude's like, hey, wanna come do some needle drugs with me?
Also, she's calling into this pirate radio. She's like a very industrious 12-year-old. She's like, oh, have you guys heard this new pirate radio station? I'm 12.
Some dude named Michelangelo, if you know, for like 15 minutes at a time, you can hear him as he drives by.
Yeah, he gives... you can hear your question answered and nobody else can.
If you catch him at the right moment, he has really great advice. Usually he tells me to eat like a squid sandwich, but whatever.
Yeah.
But Michelangelo is very staunchly anti-drugs.
Yes. Well, this is a children's show.
That is true.
I mean, if there's one thing that the Turtles are consistent, it's anti-drug. Pro pizza and
Michelangelo was in that the cartoon Heroes Unite or whatever. That one
cartoon All Starts to the Rescue.
That's it.
Yeah.
Where?
Oh man, is that the one? That's not the one where the Flintstone kids do crack, right?
I don't believe so.
It is not.
Okay.
It's the one where the kid wants to do like black tar heroin. His little sister finds out, and all of the cartoons come together like Muppet Babies and Turtles and Slimer and Garfield.
That sounds right. Yeah. And he falls, like the kid, the main character kid, whose name I do not know, falls into the sewer and the water's just glowing purple, if I remember right.
Well, he's on drugs.
Yeah. Like,
well, not yet. He didn't do the drugs. He's still debating about doing the drugs.
I don't know.
Is the sewer the drugs?
But yeah, he calls drug users drooling clowns with no self-respect, no plans, and no future, which is a very harsh critique. I know a couple of pretty professional potheads.
Yeah, I don't think that's the drug specifically.
I don't know. This is 1997. It probably was.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right.
It's before you're people older... realized that pot can like do good things.
Yeah, your older boyfriend's going to get you to do pot and then suddenly you're doing heroin and you're dead.
Yeah, then 3 days later you're just sucking on exhaust fumes to get high. I think that's what they thought the order of events went.
I read a Daredevil comic that told me not to do that. Versus Vaporia.
Vaporia,
that is right. No huffing gas, it's bad for you. Also, don't drink it causes cancer. So after the credits, we open up on a pizza place.
Joe's Pizza.
And apparently he stops here every night and gets pizza.
Six pizzas
with everything.
Which, how is he paying for it? How has nobody noticed him? Actually, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, because we see the pizza guy is Simon Bonesteel. He's knocked out, or at least tied up, the other guy. And I guess if there's that stringent a pattern, it makes sense that Bonesteel finally figured it out.
Yeah.
He even says something to that effect.
How about that? They actually did a thing that made sense. I'm almost a little impressed.
That is almost impressive. This Simon Bonesteel character is the fucking worst.
Yes, he is.
Okay, just so I know where we're at on Simon Bonesteel.
I know that this actor went on to do Wolverine, and I appreciate him in X-Men Evolution, but here he is acting so very hard.
Wait, he made the voice of Wolverine?
Yeah, in X-Men Evolution.
I thought that was Steve Bloom.
That is the 90s series.
No, that's Wolverine and the X-Men, isn't it?
It's okay.
Oh, it's one of them. This guy is Wolverine in X-Men Evolution.
Oh, well, he leveled up, because this is bad.
I don't know if they told him, you know, be a cartoon or something. Maybe it's the direction, but he's acting so very hard.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, who he's doing a bad impression of, and I just can't put my finger on it.
It's hard to say.
Could be anything.
He's stuck with it, though.
He did commit. I will give him that.
Good, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. He's doing an early Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, a very early. This is where Heath Ledger actually got the inspiration to do the Joker.
Yeah.
That way was Simon Bonesteel.
Gross.
He thought we wouldn't figure it out. That's why he had to kill himself. He knew we'd figure it out.
He knew 5 years later we would crack the code. Yeah.
Anyway,
but Michelangelo, he's apparently has no problem eating directly into the microphone because he describes it to his listeners. It's like, why would anyone listen to that? That is what, when I reach hell, that is what I'm going to hear nonstop. It's just wet mouth sounds.
Sky specifically tells me not to eat into the microphone every time we podcast,
even though he's never eating. Yeah, so he's just talking to the pizza guy who apparently never turns around ever.
Yeah, he never looks at him, which is a weird way to do business. Yeah.
Also, how did Michelangelo find that out? Like, he had to go in there and just hope that guy didn't turn around.
Maybe he had the trench coat fedora from the first Turtles the first time he went in and then realized.
Or he was fully prepared to kill that man after he gave him his pizza.
He does love pizza.
This is his fourth pizza place that he's gone through. He finally found one where a guy just turns around the whole time, and I guess is just like super open to crime happening to his store if he's not going to look at you.
That also explains how he got knocked out and tied up so easily,
and his gold chain.
Maybe like Mikey called ahead and was like, "Hey, a green Hummer's going to pull up in 10 minutes. Don't look at me, I swear to God,
or I'll kill you.
I will kill you with ninja powers."
Kumquats, pickles, imitation crab meat. Why does he have to like gross things?
I don't understand.
It's not funny.
Is this like a joke that has just been going on too long? Like in the 80s cartoon, I felt like it was just the animators having fun, being like, yeah, put whipped cream and sardines on that pizza. That'll be funny. And then they're like, that's how pizzas are for Ninja Turtles now.
But no, yes, it is definitely, a joke that's gone on too long.
It needs to stop. Just get regular pizzas.
Yeah. Don't they eat regular pizzas in the movies?
Yeah.
That's what
I
thought.
Well, I mean, Michelangelo makes the joke that they put flies and stink bugs on it, but then he affirms that that was a joke.
So the movies are the only good Ninja Turtles property is what I'm hearing.
Basically.
Well, of the live action, yeah. The new Nick cartoon's pretty boss.
I have seen a couple episodes. It was pretty great.
What are they eating that?
Regular pizzas.
So that's the trick. Good turtles eat regular pizzas.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
So, Sky, when you write your Ninja Turtles show.
My Ninja Turtle fan fiction?
Yeah, there's your equation right there. Yeah. Good pizza.
Yeah. Just get pepperoni and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bonesteel, God, his stupid faces. Was he trying to do, like, a little bit of, like, Ace Ventura or something?
I feel like it's a little bit Ace Ventura, a little bit Jack Nicholson from The Shining. And then, like, a couple other things, I think this might be too early for Cecil B. Demented, which is just a weird pull, but, like, he's just doing a lot of stuff, and I don't get it.
Yeah. But eventually, he hucks he's, like, doing the pizza toss, and then he hucks it onto Michelangelo's head, who doesn't use his hands to pull it off, but instead lets Bonesteel run around and tie up his arms.
Oh, yeah, just, like, super-duper lets him. Just like, here you go, here are my hands, let me help you out, let me put them together. Yeah.
I mean, we know his hands can't do anything. We've watched him try and pick stuff up.
No, they cut away before he tries to pick stuff up. And then a second aide, like, hands him a thing covered in tape so it sticks to his meaty paws.
Does he actually do the, like, pull his head in a shell thing here, though?
They make it seem that way, which I appreciate.
It's what it looks like, yeah.
I think they just took off the front shell and the actor leaned forward, though.
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah. But
there's also some like surprisingly agile kicks going on for a suit that clunky.
Yeah, there's a lot of like spandex or something in the joints. Like the muscles never move, but the like if you look in their armpits especially, you can see like some stretchy material.
Yeah, that's what I want to do is look at Ninja Turtles armpits. Yeah. That's why I came on this show.
Well, you're in luck.
Hey, that's what I'm into. How'd you guys know? That's exactly what I'm into.
I had a feeling. But yeah, so Michelangelo has his hands tied and he starts fighting Bone Steel, who is still just awful at what he does. He's used to hunting things that don't fight back, like small turtles. And
yeah, very tiny turtles.
And somehow, like, Michelangelo kicks him over the counter into a bucket of spaghetti, and he just unties himself somehow.
A delicious bucket of spaghetti.
Yeah, we never... There's no sequitur there. It's just he is tied up, and then later, in a minute, he is not.
Yep. Well, we see him undo it, but we don't see him untie... Like, there's no sharp thing that he grabs. He just doesn't have it anymore. And also, this is a pizza place that just has open buckets of spaghetti.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to me, but whatever. It's fine. And I was really hoping that we would cut and Michelangelo would have just left the pizza guy tied up, blindfolded still. But we do see him undo his binds, which is polite.
Yeah, he says no peeking, though. But then the guy takes his blindfold off, so Joe's dead. Joe's dead now, because there was one fucking rule, guys.
Joe was cremated in a pizza oven. It's fine. From the pizza joint, we cut over to, I don't, what is
to
this
my
place?
Favorite scene.
we see some guy walking out of a shop who's wearing a puka shell necklace, because it's still 1990. The Clockwork Orange gang is wandering about.
Yeah, right. Like, this is like the Great Value Clockwork Orange gang. Clockwork, Great Value Droogs.
I've never seen Clockwork Orange, but I recognize this immediately, but...
Yeah, it's 100% what they're doing.
What they're trying to do.
Yeah.
More accurately. What is Clockwork Orange about? I have no idea.
Brainwashing and gangs. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so okay. I could not exactly tell you the plot.
Okay.
It's not a super fun, happy movie.
I didn't get that from all of the spoofs that I've seen of it.
Yeah, it's weird that they would take a movie that I think starts out with an extended rape scene and be like, that's what this Ninja Turtles episode needs.
How about that?
I mean, essentially, that's what they're doing to the Ninja Turtles in this show. It's one extended rape scene to the turtles.
That's fair. But yeah, so one of the Clockwork, like, off-orange people spray paint some guy's boombox that he has, and then he yells at
them.
He
just runs up and starts spray painting it like that's a thing
it's
people
great.
Do.
Why would you do that? He's not tagging it. He's just coding it.
He's just being a jerk. Yeah. Like, that's it.
So, but the guy's like, hey, don't do that, and then everybody yells at him, and he runs away without his boombox.
I would, too.
I guess. They
the
call
unknowables are scary.
The unknowables. Yeah, the leader, whose name ends up being Heavy Duke...
I thought it was Heavy Dupe.
Dupe? That could be either. But
it could, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. He'll never come back. But he like hears about a Michelangelo's rave on that boombox, and then they're going to be collecting money, and he wants a cut of it, and then smashes the boombox with his fist, and sparks come out. How? What the hell
He's
happened?
Very strong. He's all hopped up on Clockwork Orange juice. And second of all, he doesn't want to, like, he will eventually want to collect the money. But right now, he just doesn't want anyone raising money for anything in his hood. Like, there will be no charity on 8th Street.
Yeah, he's got weird goals. I don't... But he's the leader because he's the one with the dancing cane.
And the sweater.
And the sweater.
And the sweater, so you know he's a street tough.
Yeah. Look, it gets chilly at nights. He learned one thing from his mom before she left. Take a sweater when it's chilly.
That's fair.
It's layers.
I have a question. Did Michelangelo get this idea for a rave while he was fighting Simon Bonesteel? He just seems to have decided.
I think he did. Because I think... Bonesteel said something about, like, animals don't have rights, and Mikey's like, well, I'm going to throw a rave to prove you wrong.
Yeah, you know, the most public way to do so.
Yeah, animals have the right to rave.
Well, I think...
It's in the Constitution.
I think it's, like, the 13th Amendment. But, like, so Bonesteel said they had the right to get in the oven and be shot.
Well, that is true. They do have the right to do that as well.
Yeah, that's on them if they want to do that.
this show. So we cut back to the lair, and Splinter asks Donatello to turn on Michelangelo's program.
Which his their Donatello says, but you hate Michelangelo's show. And Splinter says, but I don't hate Michelangelo, which is exactly how I imagine my parents discuss me. Like, they hate everything I've ever done. But they're like, he's all right, though.
Every time they come to a comedy show.
Yeah. It's got me this far.
So I've been listening to the show since it started. I'm a fan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I don't think you guys have properly sold how horrifying Splinter is. I was not ready for a diseased rat monster to be our mentor character on the show.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
I get not wanting to talk about it, but I was taken aback.
Yeah, his puppet's real rough. You don't even get to see him standing in this episode or moving around.
Yes,
and that's
thank God.
That is extra creepy.
It's real creepy when he fights.
Because there's like so much extra like neck and head for the actor inside. It's very off-putting.
And the body is so small.
So tiny. Like, I get this version of Splinter not being good at fighting and stuff. I really miss the Nickelodeon Master Splinter. He's so good.
Is he dead?
Oh. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers.
I didn't spoil it. I asked. You spoiled it.
No, Sky spoiled it.
Asshole.
My bad.
Great.
No, people That's all right. It probably happened like 3 years ago. I'll watch that show when I'm 45. When I finally have time.
When you and Josh run out of Power Rangers.
Yeah. We're going to catch up in 2024. So like that'll be pretty cool. We'll have some time to time to ourselves.
Okay. I was going to try and talk you into getting Josh on this too, because I know how much he hates this. Or theoretically
hates it. I'll tell him to do the show. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So Michelangelo's still driving around telling everybody to come to this rave. They don't have a venue yet, but it's, what is it, the Beast Bash? Yeah. Everybody come dressed as an animal.
And it's tonight. They don't have a location yet, but it is tonight. That is non-negotiable.
So find a costume quick and come to this place that doesn't exist yet.
And I guess keep moving so you can hear my radio signal, so you can find out where it is.
And also bring like $50,000. Or, I don't know, there's only like 30 or 40 people that show up, and they raise $1,500. So let me do the math on that real quick.
What's that? That's like 500 apiece?
Yeah, something like
that's like $50 a head, I think.
Let's see. That is, oh, that's only like $37 each.
I'm still not paying $37 to go to this shitty party.
No. The turtles.
Yeah, like from like this radio station that you just heard about. It's like, yeah, come in and bring $37 exactly.
Or you're out of here.
Yeah. But like Michelangelo's just driving around in the warehouse district and he finds a warehouse that's for sale.
Do you think he buys it?
Do they buy it?
No, he absolutely
does he buy the warehouse?
Have any, well, maybe they do have lots of money. I don't know how they get the money for the gas for their Hummer, or where they got the Hummer, or where they got the vanity plates, or the insurance.
I don't know, but all of this could have been fixed if Splinter just let them cash that lottery ticket the last episode.
That's true. He breaks and enters into this warehouse, and that's where he's going to set up. It's the perfect place to party.
And surprisingly, everyone's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just trespass.
That's
cool.
That's fine. Splinter,
that's barely a crime.
Venus obviously doesn't know what a rave is.
Because she doesn't know what anything is.
Right, well, she's not from here. And Leonardo says, you know, it's a rave. Like, rave all night. You can't... Come on. Try a little harder.
You can't use the word in the definition.
Right.
There's, like, a rule that against
basic
that.
Basic English. He's like, it's a party. And Raphael is the only one who doesn't want to go, but only because he finds humans to be unsanitary.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, this...
Well, I mean...
I mean, he's not wrong. He does live in a sewer, though. So,
I mean...
glass houses.
His immune system has to be great because he swims in raw sewage all the time.
Right.
We cut over to wherever Bonesteel has his hideout, and he has a radio with horns on it, like a Viking helmet, and he's still covered
sure.
in spaghetti, because why would you bother getting the spaghetti out of your hair?
Sky, you don't...
He's got spaghetti in his pocket.
He does.
You don't get a dreadlock like that by showering.
Add dreadlock.
Just the one.
Just one.
He's wrapped like some sort of leopard print cloth around it, too. He's very proud of that one.
Is he on a boat? He feels like he's on a boat.
It is.
This dude lives in a boat.
Probably. It's impossible to tell.
Boats are too expensive for this show.
His previous hideout had a direct tunnel into the sewer. So I don't know, man. But we cut back to the lair. Michelangelo has the 6 pizzas. I guess he was actually going to share.
That he's irresponsibly throwing, like, up and down. He's not handing them. He's tossing them, and they're just getting all
they're
tossed
vertical.
About. Yeah. Yeah, vertical. Thank you. You know, up and down.
Also, the establishing shot was right outside Joe's Pizza. So did they just, like, live directly beneath Joe's Pizza?
If we've learned anything from the show, it's that the geography of New York is constantly changing.
It's like the Simpsons, okay, right?
It's non-Euclidean. Okay, right. All right, I'm on board.
That is correct. Wherever they need to be, that's exactly where they live.
Okay.
We're pretty sure the Dragon Hideout is directly above them. Also, that Joe's Pizza place. Splinter looks at Michelangelo and is like, hey, you're going to interact with people? And he's like, yeah. It's like, ugh. All right, I'm going to bed. Fuck this. I'm done.
He straight up just gives up.
His will is completely broken.
He's given up on them a lot, but this time he just straight up lays down and just is like, fuck it. I am out.
I think this is the earliest case of someone who actually can't even. Who literally can't even. And he just doesn't, there's no joke or anything there. He's just, oh, you're going to be around people? Yeah, fuck this day.
Also, if my children were going to a rave, I'd be like, hey, don't do needle drugs. Like, just stick to things that grow out of the ground.
Well,
drink lots of water. Stay hydrated.
He saw the PSA.
But don't drink too much water.
Yeah.
You can die either way. It's a very precarious balance. But he knows Michelangelo's stance on drugs. He listens to the show. He missed that part.
I guess that's true.
Because he hadn't tuned in yet, but he listens to the show.
It's a constant message.
That is true. But from there, we cut over. All the other turtles are there helping. Well, Leonardo's helping. He's sweeping. Everybody else is kind of standing
helping.
Around. Raphael is touching a crate saying that it's heavy. What is in this warehouse?
Yeah, what was
What's
in that crate?
In this crate?
I don't know. Knowing the turtles, it's probably full of like military grade weapons. But I don't know, man.
My favorite part about this is that Leonardo is sweeping, but all he's doing is just moving some beach balls around and then like trying to brush this four square this hopscotch arena out of the floor.
Is that not what you do at raves? I've never been to one. I just assumed that hopscotch was the thing.
I've never been to a $37 cover rave. I don't know what they do. I don't know how fancy those ones get.
I guess.
Most of that $37 is going to go to the thousands of dollars of sound equipment that Michelangelo has.
Yeah.
I think you mean to say stole.
Guess so.
He broke in. Why not steal some audio equipment? But Donatello.
This is actually just a music. And the warehouse used to hold music equipment.
There it is. Okay. So. All those crates are full of speakers and shit.
That's why it was perfect. He was looking for the right old speaker warehouse.
It makes so much
sense. One stop spot shop.
Donatello is hooking up all the sound equipment and didn't bother to plug any of it in. And Venus notices the cord and plugs it into the wall, and everything turns on. And Donatello's like, I did it! And then it explodes a little. But that's fine, because nothing stopped working, even though it fucking exploded. Cool.
There were sparks. That's fine.
Scott, you've never been to a rave. You don't know.
That's true. Maybe they have pyrotechnics. I have no idea. I assumed there'd be more glow sticks.
Well, there's no one there yet.
Fair.
That's what's in that crate.
BYOGS. Yeah. Bring your own glow sticks.
Raphael is... He doesn't want to interact with people, so they put him at the door, so he has to see literally everyone coming
in. Every single person, that's yeah. Right.
But then they're all standing at the door.
Yeah, and then none of them are paying him as they walk in. He's not checking any IDs or anything. He's the worst bouncer. But there are some people dressed as animals, and then one girl painted silver. I don't know what she is.
Yeah, in standard definition on a high-definition TV, I did think she was just in blackface the first time I saw her. And I was like, all right, where's the ripcord? We got to get out of here.
Leave it to Sky to make people watch a show where people are wearing blackface. You're terrible.
My bad. After all of the people who are probably not going to like punch everybody, go inside the, what is it, the 8th Street gang?
The Unknowables.
The Unknowables, thank you.
The Unknowables. I keep forgetting. I was like, the Great Value Droogs is all I have in my notes.
You understand they're called the Unknowables and you didn't know their name. They're doing their job.
There we go.
Solid marketing.
Well played, after all.
Can we talk about how short, heavy Duke's sweater is, though? It, like, comes just to his belly button.
It's a crop top. He's wearing a crop top sweater.
He sure is.
And a derby. He's got the derby.
He's dressed exactly like you when we were 17.
Never dressed like that.
Yeah.
I had a stupid cabbie hat that I wore for a bit.
Oh, right.
Clockwork Orange is, like, twirling his walking stick around, and Raphael wants to beat him up. And it's like, you know what? Just do it. Nobody's going to care. You're in an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
And then his sassy goateed friend tells the turtles that their costumes suck. And Leonardo, like, Raphael wants to punch them to death, but then Leonardo's insulted about his costume. He decides that he wants to fight him, and Raph holds him back. Why would Raph hold him back? Just do
I don't
it.
Think he was. I think he was trying to block Raph, and it just looks like Raph is trying to hold him back. Maybe I'm reading it wrong.
It's impossible.
It's almost like everything in this show doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's almost like there was no second draft.
Or second takes.
My question to Sky while we were watching this the first round was that a meta joke about their costumes being terrible? Because Heavy Duke says you guys look gross. Or no, it's his goateed friend says you guys look terrible in those costumes. I think it might be meta.
That's given the show a lot of credit and self-awareness that I just wouldn't assume that they have.
Can I just pretend, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps.
Yeah, oh yeah. Headcanon that. That's how you have to get through these things. I do want to just mention that everyone's dressed as animals, but that just means like they have like ears on and their shirt is like a print.
Yeah.
And then this dude goes to the only people in full on like animal outfits and is like, you have the bad costumes here.
With moving mouths and everything.
Yeah, like it's crazy.
But we pan over to Simon Bonesteel, and from a distance, it looks like he's wearing a French maid outfit, and then it looks like he's wearing a ballerina outfit, and then...
I thought he was a swan princess.
Swan princess. Yeah, we get close enough, and he's got, like, a little beak on his head.
He's just a chicken!
He's dressed as a chicken. He's
an eagle, if you ask him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we went full on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like Jake said earlier, and he's dressed as a bird of war.
My favorite is when Michelangelo wears a hat.
Yeah.
It's just pinned to his bandana.
Yeah, it does. Because right after Bonesteel finishes yelling, we get the act break, and when we come back, Michelangelo's wearing his rave DJ hat. Is it a Cat in the Hat hat?
Sort of, but not really. I don't know what it is.
It looks like a Soul Train conductor hat.
Yep.
If I'm remembering Soul Train, is that even a thing? Am I making
Soul Train did exist? I never watched it,
okay,
but I believe
right.
you.
I know Soul Plane is a thing, yes. And I was like, that's not what I'm thinking of.
There might be one of those hats in Soul Plane.
Oh, probably.
More than likely.
And then can we talk about how Donatello and Leonardo are just straight up like, I'm going to finger that girl. They're those guys at the party who are just leering around on the outside of the dance floor talking about how they're going to score.
Who are the Night at the Roxbury characters?
Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan.
I meant their names, but yeah, that's good enough.
Oh. I don't think a single human alive can tell you what those characters' names are.
Well,
not even Will Ferrell knows what his character's name was.
But yeah, they are just trying to psych each other up to go ask this girl dressed like a lamb to dance. But luckily, she just wanders over to these monsters and asks if they want to dance.
Because who doesn't want to be fingered by a monster?
Look at the size of those fingers, though. I mean... It's a pretty nice time.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys something? I did a little bit of digging.
Oh yeah.
This lamb is played by actual for real actress Emmanuelle Vaugier, who has 103 credits on her IMDb page.
Jesus Christ!
I saw her and I was like, I know who that is. I don't know her name, but I will get to the bottom of this. The thing that I remember her from, which is like 9 episodes of Smallville. She played a doctor. She played Lex's girlfriend, I think, for a little bit.
Okay.
And she's on like an episode of Veronica Mars, but she's in like a bunch of stuff. She's like, she went on to become a real actress.
How about that?
And no one else did.
Good for her.
I knew it had to happen to someone in this show.
Yeah. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Neat. Yeah. I don't know if anybody besides Wolverine went on to do anything else.
I don't think that's the actor's name.
I don't remember what it is, so he's Wolverine.
Okay.
I'm not going to call him Bonesteel. That's stupid.
It's Simon.
Though Bonesteel is kind of a Wolverine illusion if you think hard about it.
Oh, man. He was born for this role.
After Leo and Donatello go to dance with a gazelle and a lamb, we cut over to Venus, who is standing with her arms crossed. Her body language says, please don't approach me. And then one of the unknowables walks up and asks her what she has on under that shell. So
I mean, it's just her egg sacs. That's all. It's just that's where she keeps her egg sacs because turtle. And Sky, I've told you this. Thank you for not saying it on the show, so I get to debut my headcanon. Those aren't boobs. Those are just egg sacs because she's not a mammal. She does not need to have turtle boobs.
That is correct.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
but she does need to keep her eggs.
I got a lot of masturbating to go back and take back.
All right, we're just going to take a quick break. See you guys in 10 minutes.
I don't see why she would have egg sex there, though.
Got to keep him somewhere.
Look, nothing else makes any sense. What's the alternative? That she has mammary glands?
Maybe. I don't know. But I'm glad we're objectifying Venus right away.
I mean,
well, yeah, we gotta get it out of the way later. So when she doesn't do anything at the end, we're like, good.
It's true. She responds to this guy when he asks, "What do you have under that shell?" She says, "Mace,"
and he takes no for no. He walks away.
Yeah,
he doesn't persist, which is good. Yeah, I guess
it's shockingly polite for a street tough who went up and started spray painting some dude's boombox.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a jerk, but he's not. You know, he still respects women.
Unlike you, Sky. You're just groping your way through life.
That does sound like me. So Bonesteel has infiltrated. Raph is supposed to be watching the door, but Bonesteel got right in because, of course,
he fucked right off from that. He's like, nah, I'm not watching this door anymore.
Everyone else gets to go inside and finger someone I want to, too.
And he's looking to throw. Like, there are lots of people around it. He wants to just outright attack the turtles. Leonardo and Donatello are out on the dance floor doing like a martial arts clinic.
They're dancing. They're dancing like Zach from the Power Rangers.
Oh, Tip Hop Keto?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tip Hop Keto, yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense, and I retract my objection. It is a Saban property, after all.
Yeah, they have the rights to Hip Hop Keto. They can use it whenever they want. You didn't have to pay another cent for that.
Right. But, like, I think it's weird because they're both out there by themselves, and then once they're done doing their hip-hop keto, then the girls come out and dance.
That's because they didn't want to get kicked in the fucking head.
That's fair. But Bonesteel, like, there were pegs in one of the support beams, like a fire pole, and he climbs up to the top and has a gun that's going to shoot a bolo, and nobody notices at all except for the turtles.
Well, Leonardo notices. Donatello doesn't, and he's like...
Well, he is the leader.
He says, like, Bonesteel at 4 o'clock, and then Donatello's the smart one is like, then call me at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
No, the idiot. That's not what that is. You should know this.
Yeah, because you've met Bonesteel. He shot an arrow that had dynamite on it at you. You should, you know, he's sort of a threat.
And after this, he shoots a bolo. I almost call it a bolo tie. That's definitely not what it is. He shoots a bolo at him. They move in just the right time, so it takes two street toughs and wraps them together. And then they don't deal with Bonesteel? They just let him go back to planning their murder?
It's hard, and they're dancing with ladies, and they're teenagers.
I mean, I get it. They are just the horny teen turtles, and obviously they're getting nowhere with Venus.
We don't know that.
I think we do.
Yeah, it's true.
I think the subtext is there. She is pretty done with
everybody.
Yeah.
She's tired of being the only competent one. It really shocks me how I turned around and Venus is my favorite character on this show.
It's because you're both orphans. I mean,
that's not true at all.
That's it. That's the through line.
They don't bother dealing with Bonesteel. They just moved out of the way. And he climbs back down, or does he fall down? No, he climbs down.
I don't remember. I feel like he just is like, all right, let me try this again.
Yeah. Oh, there's the girl who we thought. I can't tell what she is. She's just silver.
She's just silver, you know, like a like all the silver animals.
Like a silver fox? Is that a thing?
She's a silverback gorilla.
Okay, there it is.
Is she a sexy Santa Claus? Does she have a Santa Claus hat on?
She did have a Santa Claus hat on. It was all white.
Santa Claus is a cryptid, so...
I mean, Michelangelo gave them very little heads up on this party.
I guess that's fair, but why would you paint yourself silver?
You had silver paint and a Santa hat. You're a Santa robot.
Boom.
Just like we find in nature.
The best animal.
That is right. So Venus pops up to the DJ booth to talk to Michelangelo, and she's like, I don't understand why I'm getting so much attention from boys.
Do you just keep trying to rub their dick on me, and I'm not into that? Can I go home?
She's got a shell to protect her. But he's like, yeah, well, they think that you're attractive. They think that you're a fox. And she's like, did they get the species mixed up? Because she doesn't understand idioms.
Right.
And he's like, no, they come in all species. And the conversation goes nowhere, but luckily two other street toughs pop up. And they want to switch the music because they don't like house music.
Yeah, we're putting on Singing in the Rain. And you're going to deal with it.
Evie Duke does have a dancing cane.
But then they see Simon Bonesteel, so they give it up, right? But then the music never changes.
Well, because Bonesteel has his net gun this time, and we know how unstoppable nets are.
Oh,
so
right.
So the turtles duck out of the way, and the goons get netted.
Okay.
And you can't get out of a net. You just can't. You're done. That's why we haven't seen Dragon Lord.
Yeah, he's trapped in a net somewhere. Yeah,
he's been sidelined for also, several episodes.
I do like that Simon Bonesteel also hates punkers. Because he's like, oh, they're just thugs. They're worthless. Animals are smarter than thugs. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, this guy who wants to murder our heroes has some standards. That's good. Good for him.
It is nice to be able to sympathize with the villain. Bonesteel pulls out a pair of binoculars and is scanning the room, even though he's seen all four turtles and knows exactly where they are.
Right, it's not a very big room.
It's not.
Yeah.
There's only like 40
there's
people
a lot of
there.
People here.
And he finds Raphael.
Also,
and his... His fucking binoculars identify him as Raphael the turtle.
Real quick, what kind of vision do you think these binoculars grant?
Red.
Because it's not night vision, no. It's not thermal vision. It's just this weird like cartoon outline and like this is definitely a Ninja Turtle, TM Saban.
Yeah, it doesn't it's just a red filter.
It looks like an old-timey newsreel.
Yeah. Apparently he's got some radiation levels, so...
Well, they do have mutagen in them.
That's true.
It's a good thing it does say which turtle he is, because you couldn't tell them apart through this filter.
Well, this, no, this one has the torn-up bandana color. And looks angry. So
I guess that's true.
Oh, man. You can definitely see those eye slits super bad.
Yeah.
Those are just... It looks a little bit like he hasn't had a nap in quite some time. That's really bad.
Yeah, it gets more agreed. They have like fight heads with bigger holes. But Bonesteel just sidles up next to Raphael, who's a ninja and the angriest and most willing to fight and doesn't notice him do this.
It's loud.
Yeah, but he's also supposed to be the bouncer / security, so he should have been looking around. But he's like, swell shindig. And then they have a brief back and forth, and he's like, why don't you just leave? And then Bonesteel pulls out a goddamn bazooka.
A handheld mini bazooka.
Yeah. He's like, I could use this to splatter you. But also, like, you're way too close, bro. You're going to get caught in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But then the unknowables come up and pick him up. And we get to see his stupid chicken feet. And it's like, hey, you've been messing with my guys. At which point Bonesteel tries to recruit them to help him kill the turtles.
He doesn't try. He does.
Well, it's just a weird move for him, I think. Because, like, why would you want to split your money? The whole thing was you're going to capture these turtles and make a big payday.
I mean, I think he's seen Clockwork Orange. And he knows, like, what happens to people who run up against the droogs. So he's like, nah, I'm just going to try to trick him. Does he have money? Is he shown to be rich in earlier episodes?
Well, he did sell a red-eared slider for, like, $2,000.
He's good at business.
Yeah. So okay. Maybe. I have no idea. He hires the goons, and the Clockwork Orange gang goes after the turtles.
Then everyone's favorite part of the episode starts, the poorly choreographed fight.
The slowest fight scene in cinema history.
Yeah, Raphael immediately throws one of them into an empty box, because he didn't move the crates after all.
They were too heavy.
They were very heavy.
But that one was empty. It was just full of newspaper. Shredded newspaper.
And the, like, the stuff you stuff Easter baskets with, it looks like.
And they're fighting these guys, and the lamb and the gazelle are just straight up flirting with them the whole time. They are
so
horny.
They're like, they're like, oh, this is really sexy fighting that you're doing.
Well, it's all the dancing they've been doing, so they don't know that they're not.
Oh,
the...
they just think they're still dancing. Right. That's right. With men.
Michelangelo just throws a slice of pizza at one of the dudes, and I don't know where he pulled it from or where he was keeping it, because he does not have pockets.
I just assume he always has one in hand, or maybe it was under his hat. But he's still wearing...
There's another silver woman, too, by the way.
He still has his headset on, also. Michelangelo does some flips, and then he kicks this guy in the tummy. Or, no, in the back. My mistake. And then he falls into the pile of dudes they've already knocked down, and everybody cheers, and the fight's over, for the most part.
For now, until...
Heavy Duke... makes his way through the
It's
crowd.
Actually Heavy Dupe. I saw it on
It is
the
Dupe?
Thing. Yeah.
No.
Oh, I was right?
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Yeah.
It's even
heavy, what
worse.
A terrible name.
Yeah, I assumed it was Heavy Duke because that's a real word. And he twirls his baton and kicks Michelangelo, and then Donatello steps up and gets owned immediately. Donatello, goddammit. Why are you so
bad? Donatello is the worst one.
Especially.
He's the worst Ninja Turtle there is. I'm going to take that stand right now. Fuck a Donatello. He can go do machines somewhere else. He's the worst.
That's all the fight was, though, between them and Heavy Dupe. I'm going to say it right now.
What a bad name. What a really bad name.
But all the turtles spread out, and then they shellquake him, which is when they smash a dude in between all four of their shells.
That guy has to weigh maybe 180 pounds.
Probably.
Like, those turtles weigh 500 pounds each. They couldn't take him. They had to team up and smash him and then hang him from the roof.
Yeah, there's no way his ribs aren't broken. I'm just going to put that out
He
there.
Had a stick, so I guess he had the advantage.
And Donatello did not have his stick. Because
he was busy partying.
That's right. Yeah, they just, they hook him with like a pulley system. Apparently they're still set up in the warehouse, and then they hang him from the ceiling. Venus did not partake in the fight, but she did use the pulleys to raise him up into the air.
And then, you know how this was a Mikey episode, primarily? Raph gets to beat the bad guy. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It kicks him into a net, and then Venus is on a second pulley. I guess she's on pulley duty tonight. That's her role in all this, and she raises him to the ceiling. She's
making a terrible face all the while.
Well, yeah, she can't help that. But, yeah, Bonesteel apparently got trapped in his own net, so this was his net that he set up?
He brought a net from home?
I guess, because one of them tells him that it's his net. Maybe they kept it from before. Maybe he set it. We didn't see him do that. And nothing makes sense.
Surprise. Is there a skeleton behind Michelangelo?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a woman painted, or no, she might be a raccoon.
A raccoon? I think that's just a straight up skeleton.
Okay. Whatever.
That's my favorite animal. That's what I would have gone as.
Every animal has one.
not bugs.
They have exoskeletons.
I guess.
Well, I talked earlier about how Mikey hasn't seen any bugs that he wants to fuck.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just like part of that. Storyline, I guess.
He's racist, but then he does see a lady dressed as a ladybug that he wants to go bang.
I do appreciate he's right. Checked out every animal and been like, I'll do you.
It's just flipping through National Geographic.
I'll do you.
Mikey's playing Smash or Pass with a National Geographic. Jesus.
Is National Geographic like a porno to him? Like, is that Playboy to them?
I mean, they're all naked already.
That's true. Ugh. This took a weird turn.
This
I don't
got weird.
Do this podcast anymore.
We get to be done?
Nah.
Damn it.
We're almost there. We're like halfway through. So Michelangelo makes this speech about how this guy wants to hunt endangered animals and then makes no point about how it's bad or good. Like, he just says that this is the thing he does and everybody cheers.
Yeah, it's so weird because this speech is the, like, this is the guy who's, you know, this is why we're having the rave is because this guy hates animals and wants to kill them all. And they should boo him.
Yeah.
But they cheer Mikey, and it looks like they're just cheering Bonesteel.
It really does. And, like, he doesn't make a point. He doesn't say anything about them.
Yeah.
I mean, he mentions that they raised $1,200 for the wildlife fund or whatever. But, like, why did you make them cheer for Bonesteel? He's
that's,
the bad
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, that's it. I guess they're cheering that he got caught, but it does not read that
no,
way.
It doesn't.
Can we talk about all these weird people who stayed at a rave where there were live human beings hanging from the ceiling? They continued to party underneath those people hanging.
Those people
from
are
the
still
ceiling.
There. They're going to die there.
Ugh. It's gross.
Those people are on drugs, so they're having a great time.
That would explain a lot.
They didn't hear the first part of Mikey's show last night.
Well, he was too far away.
Night? Yeah. He wasn't in their neighborhood, so he couldn't hear they couldn't hear the no drugs message.
Oh, jeez. But apparently the rave has ended. The sun must have come up, and the turtles are back in the lair, and Michelangelo is saying, thank you, join me tomorrow night, or tonight, or whatever, for more of the sewer hour. And Leonardo and Donatello are talking about the girls they could have banged, but didn't. And Raphael points out that, hey, they thought that you were human boys.
Yeah, what was your endgame on that? Sorry, I can only fuck in my turtle suit. With my very realistic
they're
turtle penis.
They were the
first
furries.
I don't think they were the first furries.
First public furries.
I mean, and also, say what you will about furries, but they're honest about who they are.
I guess that's true.
Like, they're not going to try to trick you, because they're not actually those animals. So they're not like, no, I'm a human in this suit.
That is a fair point. But that's how it ends.
No, we didn't get to fuck those human ladies.
Yeah, so that's how it ends. They, and
the turtles never
Michelangelo
get to fuck
proposes
anyone.
That maybe they'll do another one, was it? 1001 Reptiles or some such?
Yeah, because they have to keep coming up with themes so they can wear their own clothes.
Eventually...
This was just for turtles.
Eventually they're going to run out and they're going to become suspicious.
I mean, I guess they could put costumes over their turtle costume.
That would be horrifying. Try to imagine the human suit that it had to fit over that. That's not a good look for anybody.
Why is your nose so flat against your face?
How about you be quiet and let me finger you?
Look, I'm just trying to finger you, all right? Just trying to get my teenage rocks off. The turtles even have... We've all seen the videos of turtles having sex and do that weird scream that's super funny.
Yes, yes, we like, have.
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to be a turtleologist. I don't even know what the name of a turtleologist
is. That's Sky's job on this podcast.
I just don't feel like they have the proper equipment to have sex with humans.
Well, they are mutant turtles.
I mean, look, we could just Google it. I'm sure there's plenty of people who have drawn pictures of just this thing.
Oh, I'm sure. It wouldn't be that hard at all. I don't just don't want that on my search history.
Yeah, no, you get put on a list.
I have to start introducing myself to the neighbors, and I don't want to have to do it that way.
As the guy who looked up turtle dongers.
Hi, my name is Sky. I live next door. I was definitely caught looking up Ninja Turtles porn. I'm sorry.
I didn't know that they
weren't
of age.
I also legally can't be within 30 feet of your children.
I live across the street from a park. I hope that's not going to be a problem.
It's nothing but a problem.
So, Jake, what did you think? Both of you. Jake Mason, what did you think?
I thought a lot of things, mostly that these are some really horny turtles. And I loved the show when I was a kid because I was like, anything on the TV is good. Like, I will just watch it. I don't think I disliked any shows as a child. Especially if Saban's name was attached, I was like, if they did Power Rangers, it has to be good.
That's right.
And so watching it as an adult man, it's real super duper bad. pretty much toe to tip. Everything about this is like really bad. In a very weird way, it's really like I feel like I could watch this all in one sitting and be like, okay, there's something here. But if you watch it, you know, one at a time, you're like, nah, this is just garbage.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah. We have been watching it one at a time. It's been real rough. Garbage. This episode isn't the worst episode, though, so no. I'm not angry.
Yeah, like, nothing was accomplished in this except for that $1,200, but, like, things did happen, sort of. It just wasn't relevant to any kind of plot.
I don't think there's an overreaching, like, goal in this show.
To fight the bad guys.
Yeah, and they did that. They fought Simon Bonesteel and Heavy Dupe. They took on two bad guys.
Man, I hope Heavy Dupe comes back.
It would be great, but I think this is about as far as I've ever reached watching this show.
So we're getting into uncharted territories
pretty soon. Yeah, I think this might have been the last episode I've watched on purpose.
I can tell you this: there's no Heavy Dupe action figure.
That's a shame.
That is an injustice.
So, also Jake, you and Josh watched the Ninja Turtles episode with the Power Rangers. How did that stack up to the actual show? Like, were they true to character, do you think?
Yes. They definitely said certified turtle-fied like 100 times.
As they'll do.
And they did make a lot of, like, green and turtle puns, so I think that's, you know, the branding was correct on it. That was a much more Power Rangers episode, so, like, tonally it was very different, so it's weird seeing... Like, that's the only way I've seen these Ninja Turtles in 20 years is on that one episode of Power Rangers. So, like, seeing them in their own element, where everything is, like, darker and neoner, is weird. And they fit better on this show. They just don't fit on a Power Rangers show.
Yeah, because they were in space and the turtles live in the sewer.
Yeah, though if they ever do go to space on this show and they can't breathe, I'm calling bullshit because they totally could breathe in space on that episode of Power Rangers.
Does that take place after this show, or in the middle, or...
Like, it was like episode 4 or 5 of In Space, right?
It was episode 4 of In Space. I assume that was around episode 4 of the... Or it had to be after the 17-part opening gambit. So it was sometime after that, because Venus was there, and they were, you know, all, like, turtle family integrated and whatever.
Did they seem to have been to a rave recently?
They did not seem like it.
So it's still indeterminate.
Yeah, bummer. Could be any time.
Since the turtles exist in that universe, do you have to watch all of these episodes for your podcast?
No, you guys are handling that for us. We were gonna, we were about to. We're like, shit, now we have to watch all the next mutation. And then Sky was like, no, I got you.
I will shoulder this burden.
Where there was only one set of footprints in the sand, it was because I was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation.
It's to hide our numbers. We walk in a single file line. That was a Star Wars joke. Sorry, nobody laughed.
That's because it's just a meme. You're just saying a meme to me. I'm sorry, I'm not 15 and laugh at your memes that you say out loud.
I just thought that was like actual Native American tactics.
This guy's full blown Indian.
Not like Native American Indian, like of India Indian. No, I'm super white. My last name's Ertl. It means spear in German. That's super white.
That's just about as white as you can get.
So, you guys, what would you say is the most turtle-rific part of the show?
Michelangelo's hat.
Good answer.
I'm going to say, this doesn't have to do with anything turtly. I just like that Venus was like, hey, fuck off, and then the guy fucked off.
That
like,
was nice. It was good to see.
It's nice to see that in a show. Yeah. Like, that just never happens.
It's true. She didn't even have to hit him. He just he understood and walked away.
I don't think I've seen that happen in real life.
No. Well, this is a fantasy show, you're right. So. And people went to a rave and didn't do drugs. This is obviously a fantasy.
Right. Was that what Raphael was looking for? He was bouncing.
That's what he was hoping was in those boxes.
Him down. Taking their drugs.
He was doing an ocular pat down.
Yes.
That's what it was, because he didn't actually go anywhere near them. Even when he was in the rave, he didn't go near anybody.
No.
That dude straight up doesn't like humans. I mean, I get it, but like, it's weird that they're so overt about it. But yeah, so that was the show. Jake, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yes, you were the one I was talking to. Did you want to go ahead and plug all of the podcasts you're on?
Sure.
List all seven of them?
Yes, seven for now.
I was going to say.
there's an eighth one in the works. There's the Morphin Grid, which is an episode recap of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I say Mighty Morphin. We're up to season six. We're in space now. There's Pokemon World Tour, which is a town-by-town tour of the Pokemon world. There's Pokemon World Tour United, which is an actual play RPG of us in the Pokemon world. Sky has been on that.
I played Kent.
He's Kent, the Pewter City Gym Leader. Yeah. He gave me my first loss. Sorry. So that was very
You're
fun.
You're a dick, Sky.
Kent is very polite.
He was super polite about it, and that made it worse. And then I'm on Hard Reboot, where we take public domain properties and reboot them in new and exciting ways. There is, I don't even remember what the fuck else I do.
Gascast. I've done that too.
You talked about BattleBots. Man, I've been thinking about BattleBots a lot lately too. Need that show to come back. It's a games and sports show. We've done like Legends of the Hidden Temple and Supermarket Sweep and BattleBots, and we just talk about a lot of things that can be classified as games or sports. There's Cool Kids Table, which is a actual play RPG podcast where we like try out different systems. There's me and Josh and Alan and Shannon Maynor. We do a bunch of different stuff on that one. It's pretty fun. And then I edit Sailor Business, and I think that's all of them.
That sounds right.
Okay. You've appeared a bunch. Stay tuned for another one coming soon.
Can I just list all the podcasts I listen to so I sound as impressive?
Please do.
All right, here we go. Pop Culture Failure. Done.
Hooray.
That's a good one. I like
that
one.
It's not that great.
The hosts are dicks. They're nothing but negative about this terrible show.
Yeah, they hate the show that they watch.
I don't know why they do it.
To be fair, we tried this once with Beetleborgs, and we didn't make it past the first episode, so we're doing better than that.
Yeah, we're like 12. What is this, 12?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting the number. After 10, I'm just gone, apparently.
I had to message you earlier because I was like, what number is it that we're doing? I thought it was 13, but then I was like, I thought it was the rave episode, and that's 12. I should double check so I don't look like an idiot.
Good call. So that'll do it for us. Thank you very much, Jake, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I had a ton of fun.
With this terrible, terrible show.
I mean, I had to watch season 2 of Power Rangers, which is not great,
that's...
and then the first half of Power Rangers Turbo, it got real close to us calling the podcast off, or just every episode just talking about Yorkies instead of Power Rangers, because that's something I do like.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody for listening. You can follow the show at Failed Pop Culture with no E. You can email the show at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can follow me at Sandwich Surplus.
I'm Midwest Love Affair, but without some vowels and stuff.
It'll be in the show description.
Thank God. No one's going to follow it anyway.
You're just full of complaints, man. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yay.
You can say something too if you want, Jake.
I said yay.
Oh, see you later. Bye, I guess.
Thanks.
We did it. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green and it's gonna get mean. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green and it's gonna get mean. Yeah.
Stop. I was to just call present Jake Fernando and call you Mason.
But that's not funny. My picture's in the logo.
The guest gets to keep his name.
I've never gotten to look at the computer while we're recording before.
That's what your
voice is. I've never been
like.
Allowed.
Your voice is the higher one than mine.
The big one?
Okay, recording.
Cool. So we're going to do a sync. I'm going to say one. Other Jake will say two. Then you'll say three.
Okay.
And then I'll say four, five, six. Okay?
Okay.
You got it.
All right. And syncing. One.
Oh, I'm other Jake.
Oh, yes.
See, this is already off to a great start. Okay.
Son of a bitch.
I will do. I'm two and five.
At me.
Right. Okay. So.
Okay. All right.
Your camera was off. I was pointed at you, but the camera was off.